This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Braj
and Christine Wong.
We just kind of have a quick KLCI update at break, courtesy of Arvind.
So it is up by 0.98% at 1,593 points. Active stocks include Sapura Energy Berhad, AT Systematization Berhad, and VSolar Group Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.08 against the US dollar. It is at 3.0 against the Aussie dollar and 3.04 against the Sing dollar.
Thanks, Arv. If you're only just joining us today, we're talking about luxury goods. Now, in a time of primarily necessities or quick fix feel-good items, luxury brands are falling behind. Are luxury brands still even relevant to today's consumers? Which is why we're asking you, have you bought any luxury brand products in 2020? And if so, what was it? If not, why not? We have a poll running on Twitter. We have a poll running on Instagram. You can also get us on WhatsApp, as Ro has just done. He says, speaking of luxuries, how much did the Morning Run crew pay in transfer fees to pinch Audrey Raj? I can tell you now, Ro, that she is strictly on a free transfer and on loan only. On loan only.
Miss you, Audrey.
Yes, we miss you. Anyway, moving swiftly along, let's get some stuff from Instagram first.
Yeah, so both the Asham V and Mao Yang Cheng both said they bought BMWs.
Wow.
Mao Yang Cheng specifically wanted to say that he bought a BMW 3 Series. Congratulations on that one.
Yeah.
Alternate Mike says, no, to save money, duh. Money is tight, not like everyone who is living in the so-called Bangsar bubble. Fair enough.
Wow.
Bond the Bond Kim says, only buy luxury during travels because it's cheaper. Fair enough. Tennis Me says, luxury items are unnecessary. A Pencil 98 says, still don't see a need for it. Sheikh Fadzil actually has a really interesting point. No, I don't shop for luxury items at the moment online because I need to see and touch it before I splurge.
Okay, yep.
Fair enough.
Fair point.
And Mirzan says, I've been buying lots of used cameras and headphones during COVID because of my new job.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Arv, what have you got over on Twitter?
Yeah, so a couple of messages on Twitter from Wong, who says Nike running shorts for 19 ringgit during sale.
Nice.
Bargain.
Mm-hmm. Count.com says luxury, no, but change bike to slightly higher CC.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay, let's move on to story number two. We are talking about the Malaysian movie industry.
Yes, about FINAS specifically. So FINAS has boosted or pumped money into like 40 production companies with about 14 million ringgit, 13.9 to be exact. So what happened was 40 production companies have received offer letters for funds totaling 13.927 million ringgit from the National Film Development Corporation, or FINAS, Digital Content Fund, or DKD, under the Creative Industry Immediate Economic Action Plan, or Pelaksana. So the Communications and Multimedia Minister, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, said DKD aims to help strengthen the creative industry affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. He also said its objective was to regenerate the country's creative industry through cooperation with the private sector, involving local television and broadcasting stations, and increase ownership of copyright content among local publishers for future profit generation. And then Saifuddin also said that the Ministry of Communications and Multimedia, KKMM, through FINAS, had always supported and assisted industry players, particularly through the Pelaksana Initiative, to ensure the creative industry continues to grow despite being affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. And as such, he said every industry player should make use of the opportunity given to further develop the country's film industry. He also added, on top of that, he hopes that through the 12th Malaysia Plan, or 12th MP, to be launched next year, the government will allocate 550 million ringgit for DKD to boost the creative industry through film and music and animation. So, there are two sides to this. I think we're talking about it off air, right? So the numbers that was quoted, we're not that clear on the details yet, how it's going to be spread across the 40 companies, but 40 companies is a lot. And when you look at it that way and how much it costs to make a movie or to produce something at pre-production, 13.9 might not sound like a lot. But then when it goes to next year's plan and the number like 550 million, then you see it's a significant chunk of change that could make a big big difference to our like creative landscape and the production houses, the production companies, to sort of maybe embark on like bigger, bolder, sort of better productions.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but honestly, the arts industry and media have been the thing that has kept me sane throughout COVID-19. You know, we've all been staying at home, we've all been watching, you know, movies, listening to music, and I love that.
Watching,
you know,
plays online.
Right? And so, you know, I think that it's really important that, you know, the government realizes that this is something that we do need to invest in, right? Mm-hmm. Especially locally. Mm. There's so much untapped potential out there, right?
I mean, the only problem is, you know, next year, or hope, you know, we're not going to see a return on, you know, people visiting the cinema, you know, and that's how a lot of these locally made stuff would have made their money back, or at least some of that money back. We're not going to be seeing that. So this money that they're being allocated, again, is where is that money coming from if they're not getting it back from the theatre and the cinema and whatnot? But even then, 550 million ringgit, I still feel it is not a huge amount of money for 40 companies or however many companies it is. The problem with stuff like the arts and making movies and whatever, you've got to invest a good amount of money to get a good product, you know, to get stuff that people want to go out and want to see. You've got to hire good staff, you've got to hire good actors and good crew and whatever. If you're spending a slim amount of money, you're not going to get the best of what you want, and the return is not going to be as good as what you perhaps think it might have been.
I mean, I know that people mention Hollywood a lot, like, oh, what is Hollywood's budget? And I think Hollywood's not a good benchmark.
You can't use it.
Yeah, no. Because they're like pumping 150 million into their blockbusters and stuff. Yeah. So that's not, it's nowhere achievable. But maybe like South Korea and their movies, stuff like Parasite. Not a big budget production. But like smaller budget, intimate stories that don't take a lot of like CGI and a lot of work, but go on to make like, you know, get a lot of recognition and stuff. But also speaking about the local creative industry, do you guys know that Finas was involved with The Mandalorian?
I heard. I saw it recently, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's no way for me to have seen it because we don't have Disney Plus.
Of course not.
Yeah, none of us have seen The Mandalorian.
You read it online though, right?
Yeah, of course. Right. So what happened was there is this local company called Base Media. So they are like a leading visual effects and animation studio. They've worked on stuff like Aquaman and Infinity War, Star Wars. And they worked on the creature effects for this season, for season two of The Mandalorian.
Oh.
So if you see the credits, Finas shows up at the end in the credits itself, because I think Lucasfilm and The Mandalorian got the 30% cash rebate that Finas was providing. Yeah, it says like produced with financial assistance of 30% cash rebate from the National Film Development Corporation Malaysia. So
excellent.
Yeah,
you see, not only that, but you know, you can contribute internationally and get recognition, stuff like that, which is brilliant. You can also look at stuff like that recent Emmy award winner over in India, the recent Delhi Crimes that just won the Emmy for best drama series, I believe it was drama. Anyway, they won an Emmy over in India, and it's the first Indian show to do that. Mm-hmm. It didn't have a huge budget. What was so good about it is if you've seen it, the scripting is fantastic. The way it has been shot is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just very, very well done. It takes a step away from what Indian TV normally would have been. Mm-hmm. You know, Indian TV, as we've seen, whether it's Bollywood or Hollywood or whatever, is glossy, it's kind of glammy. But this was like real Indian stuff. It was gritty, it was dark, and it told the true story. And I think a lot of people kind of resonated a lot with that.
On a much smaller scale.
On a much smaller scale. Mm. They really focused on the storyline and building an actual good screenplay. That makes a huge difference. Anyway, let's take a short break. But just to quickly discuss what James has said, he bought a Fender Telecaster and he's rocking it in a one-man band.
Oh, wow.
We've got even more responses on Instagram as well. 8 Trey Ra says, unnecessary expenses. JL Inilial, I'm so sorry. JL Inilial says, best to conserve our money now. Lucy Arjun says, Ferragamo, which I don't even know what that is, but it sounds
it's a brand
fancy. Irene Azrai says, watch, but doesn't say what brand. And Minimalist Lookbook says, a bracelet because there was a 10% price increase and it is a forever piece. Ooh.
Also, James is just asking why we're not talking about Namui's latest movie. I'm sure that will be something that will be discussed on a different show, just not on this show in particular today. Let's take a short break. Music from Aretha Franklin. It is Chain of Fools here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.